It's time to tee off with Dirt and Sprague.
The honor of teeing off, if there's a social hierarchy, the most important person goes first.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
U.S. Open Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Here's to the finely tuned athlete on the verge of greatness.
The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan. Yes, indeed. Happy Monday, everybody. How
what
we doing?
Is
happening? Oh man, what a weekend!
Nice little weekend for the Sprague household.
Busy. Super busy.
A lot of stuff going on. Got tournaments, that time of year. School's almost out.
Final tournament of the season was this past weekend. It was in Salem.
Wrapped it up in Salem this weekend.
And I want to start the show by thanking our great friend, our delightful friend.
Who?
Terry Boyd.
Terry Boyd.
Doing
round of
morning
applause.
Show over at 92.
Round of applause, Terry
K-G-O-N.
Boyd.
Does a great job every morning as well.
He's the only other person in the building with us in the morning.
He's just as insane as us
it's
as well.
It's us three and Terry Boyd. Well, usually swag, but Ortner's in today. Three of us on this show and Terry Boyd. That's it. That's all we got.
That is it. The lights are literally off in our building. We're all alone here. We're getting weird.
That's right.
But Friday after our show, we departed very quickly, went and golfed with Terry down at his club. It was great. He was great. It was a lot of fun. We got off that round at the exact perfect time. The last three holes, it was a scorcher.
Got to get a little hot out there.
Oh, my God, it was hot. But we got off that course, and I saw a couple people making the turn. I'm like, good luck.
It's going to be a long back nine for you.
Terry, me, Swag, we got into the clubhouse. We're just, like, exhausted. The sun had beat us to death.
Now, what's the was it a riding or walking situation?
Where we played is Creekside.
Yes.
If anybody's ever been down in the Salem area, it's kind of in deep Salem.
It's down deep.
You have to ride.
Got to ride.
You could walk. Walking would have maybe killed us.
And the back nine, when it heats up a little bit, you're going up and down hills.
Back nine had a little elevation, so that would have been disastrous. So we rode. It was great. It was quick. Got done with the front in like an hour and 40 minutes.
God, that's the beauty of a country club, isn't it?
It was.
No riffraff out there. Yeah. Nobody just coming out for a random round in denim jeans on a Friday afternoon when it's finally nice. You know, everybody's into golf. Everybody knows what they're doing at a country club.
Swag and I broke 100.
Look at you. Well done. Double round of applause.
Staying right now.
Double round of applause.
It wasn't great. It was double. Somehow chip in birdie over a bunker from 30 yards out.
Hey.
Double, triple. Bogey, par, from there.
It's
was
a bit of a Jordan Spieth scorecard there. A little highs, a little lows, a lot of highs, a lot of lows.
But it was a good time. But Friday, so we raced down there. We're in Salem.
Yeah, it was a quick turnaround from the show to get to the tee time on Friday.
Well, the Waze was saying, I don't know if Waze has been messed up, but Waze was like, arrival time, 10:30. Our tee time was 10:30.
You turn it and burn it.
Then I get in the car and we start driving and the Waze just tweaks. It just shook or something and then it went to 9:40. And I'm like, oh.
That's a slight difference in departure time or arrival time.
So we did that. We turn, we play golf, we have fun. We go home. And then Saturday, Sunday, I have tournaments all day Saturday, Sunday in Salem.
And you're just driving back down there.
So I've just been in Salem like for the last three straight days.
Just hanging out down in Salem all weekend. It's nice to have basketball wrapped up, though. You get your summer on. Kids are out of school. You can plan activities and stuff now. Don't got to worry about weekends being eaten up. I learned the hard way this weekend of what it's like living in a house without air conditioning again, so that was fun.
You don't have AC in that house?
No AC in that house. To make it even worse, I've been up since 1:45. To make it even worse, a lot of caffeine today, FYI.
You're going to crash so hard this
afternoon. Oh, it's going to be bad. Today's going to be a rough day in the Johnson household. Like 90% of the windows, too, don't open in the house.
So it's just like those. Are they just, those old school windows?
Oh, the old school rope windows that have been painted shut. The rope doesn't hold. And so it was about a balmy 85 in there in the middle of the night last night.
Welcome to Portland, you woke limb.
Old Teddy ballgame was not thrilled. Where's my air conditioning? Where's this? We came from a place with air conditioning. Now we don't have air conditioning. I'm not going to sleep all night.
Are you going to get air conditioning?
Yeah, we're working on some stuff. We've only been there a week. Mm. Windows are on the docket. They're very high on the list. That's first step. You know, getting some windows that can actually get fresh air in the house would be delightful, and then we'll go from there.
You know those you may have had one or seen those, the window, not the ones that like sit in the window.
Yeah, not the box ones.
But the ones that actually, they have wheels and the boxes in the house.
Oh, the Costco AC, man. They're phenomenal.
Dude, for your house especially.
That'll be perfect.
Yeah, like one room, just have that thing blast. Your house will feel amazing.
Yeah, here's the great part. Windows in the bedroom don't open, so can't put one in there.
I'd put it in your living room.
Windows in the living room don't open, can't put one in there.
Oh no! Yeah, what yeah. do you
What's
do?
The point we're of doing.
I'm doing
that
great.
Open?
You know, that's a great
How did
question.
You sleep?
I didn't sleep. Yeah, no sleep.
Dude, that's like uncomfortably hot.
Not great, Bob. Not great. We moved in and then saw the weather report a week out, 91. It's like, oh god, this isn't gonna.
My
end
house
well.
Was hot and I had my AC yeah, on.
This is not gonna end well for us. So you know, we're doing great today. We're doing great. Yeah,
well,
yeah. What's the point of windows that don't open? I don't know. I haven't quite figured that one out yet.
Previous owners never open their windows, so they just like.
I don't know how
stuck.
Any psychopath could live like this long term.
This is how they used to
this
live.
This is
though.
How they lived. They didn't. This is their house. I don't know how they survived.
We're
I got,
soft.
I got all sorts of questions, man.
We're soft as a society because of these issues.
We absolutely are. It's like the traffic situation. I need to know where I'm going. I got to have answers. And if I don't have technology and air conditioning, I'm going to be a little frustrated.
You ever mentally being so like you're sweating in your own house, I'm assuming. You're probably in what would look like boxer briefs, but maybe they're not, but they're about that size.
Just laying on top of the bed.
Right.
Just sticking. Doesn't matter. Still sweating. Waking up. Like, yep. I don't know if I can move right now. I think my back is stuck to the bed currently.
Look, you love where you live. You had mentally a buyer's remorse for 5 minutes, did you not?
What the hell did I get myself into?
Why did Until, I do this?
Today, especially, because it's going to be hotter than hell today, too, and then I think it finally cools off. So it gives me, like, one more day to survive and then, like, a week to figure out windows and air conditioning. Because if I don't get those solved before the summer fully hits, I'm going to die this summer. I'm not going to make it.
I mean, in the gym, so we played at Willamette, and I had never been inside Willamette's university. I just driven past it, know a couple people that went there. So I was excited for the girls to be at a college. You know, how cool is it to be at a college court and all that? Most of our games were on the main court, and they had a downstairs basement court. I don't know if they had AC. I was
in the gym.
Dude, I was sweating standing on that sideline coaching.
They definitely have AC. That's one of those, let's save a little money this weekend.
It wasn't blasting, I'll tell you that
much.
That's
a Willamette home game. They're cranking that thing. For a 90 degree
Saturday,
they're taking care of their fans. Oh. For a youth basketball tournament, I don't think so. We're saving pennies.
My kids shamed me. Why are you sweating? You didn't play. We just lost by 30. You know, it's hot here.
I'm standing up. I'm sitting down. I'm yelling at the officials. I'm
trying to coach you.
Clapping aggressively. Here it's hotter than balls in here, man. God, this the most Oregonian thing ever to do is to complain about the constant cold weather and rain, and then the second you get a weekend where it's like 90 degrees, like, man, it is too damn hot out.
Well, we're never happy.
We're never
right?
happy.
We're never happy as people.
What happened to 75 and just a little overcast? You know, that's all I'm asking for.
Well, I was driving in. I went over the Fremont, and I had this brief moment where the lighting. I kind of looked to my left, a little behind for a second, because you know you might merge.
Yeah.
And I see Mount Hood, I see the sun coming up, and I'm just like, this is it, man. This is as good as it gets in life.
We're living the dream.
And then instantly went, it's going to rain all next June, isn't it? We had such a nice June, it's going to rain all June next year. And I'm going to remember this moment on the bridge going, hey, the light's out, and it's not even 5:30 a.m. How great is this?
Feels fantastic.
But yeah, I mean, we're never satisfied. We go from 50 in rain, this is miserable, I hate this. It's 88. Can't be outside for 20 minutes.
Do it anymore.
It's a scorcher.
Every time I go through one of these things, I just think to myself, like, how did people 100 years ago survive at all? I don't get it.
I mean, they didn't really, though. What was the average lifespan?
A little bit shorter.
100 years ago.
Yeah, you go 1925. Let's see what the average lifespan was in 1925.
I mean, the mind-blowing part of It's a Wonderful Life, the movie every year in December, is in the beginning when George is working at the storefront as a little boy. Remember? And the guy running the storefront's loading medicine. Do you remember the letter the guy gets that makes him so devastated?
His kid dies in the war.
No.
Wasn't that what it was?
No. His kid died from just getting sick.
Oh,
he had influenza.
Sick.
He's
That's
dead.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, back then they couldn't even get sick. They died.
57.6 for men, 60.6 for women so 100 years
think
ago.
Think about that. People dying at 40 wasn't like insane.
Yeah,
it was
kind of
like,
old,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, he didn't quite make it.
Well, how did he die? He just got too hot, man. His windows didn't open. He didn't have any air conditioning.
He's wearing like thick wool pants because he could never wear shorts because we didn't really invest prevent them.
No, he went crazy. His kids wouldn't sleep. It was hotter than balls. He just said, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm passing on. I'm ready to be over.
I mean, think about that. How many old images do you see?
It's always hot clothes.
It is.
Always pants, long sleeve t-shirts, just
they didn't believe
like
in shorts.
No, I don't know if they had them. When was the short invented?
Look that up, because I remember a segment on Isaac and Souk last week where they were debating what's the best era of clothing, because they think we dress too dumpy now.
Oh, okay.
Like, people show up to events and they're not dressed properly, which I would agree with.
That's definitely a thing we've all been guilty of.
But I would counter, because they were like the 20s, the 30s, Schulte's like the 40s. I'm like, look, you guys are right, but you're also wrong. You're right in when they showed up to a party or an event.
Classy and elegant.
They looked elegant. They looked done up. They looked right for the gig. Outside of that, they wore most of those clothes at the wrong time.
That's all they had. That was their wardrobe. Like 7 days a week.
91, and it's like, let's get our pocket watch and our jacket and our pants. And it's like, no, not at all. I'd gladly be naked in my house, never leaving.
This says the shorts were invented in the late 1800s. It was a schoolboy uniform, and they began including them as shorts. So that's how it started.
Okay.
And then the concept of men's shorts, as we know them today, was born in the Bermuda Island during World War I.
I got a little Dutch kid, like, in the Ricola commercials wearing shorts.
It's hot out. I got shorts on now.
Ricola.
I mean, you're talking World War I. That's not, I mean, that's basically over a little over 100 years ago. We haven't even had shorts that long.
They didn't even perfect them when they had them.
No,
they were like, I don't know about this, man. We can't do that.
Still thicker than hell. But they didn't even become a part of sports until the 1930s and 40s.
Anytime I watch Back to the Future 3, when Marty goes back to the Old West, that's all they're wearing. And all the weather is really sunny and hot. And I'm like, God, they got to be miserable.
You're out in a desert somewhere. It's nothing but heat and scorpions.
Dude, that's and they didn't shower and bathe routinely. God. Like, that stank had to have been a different level of stank.
That's the only saving grace after a long, hot day without air conditioning is the cold shower at the end of the day.
Yeah.
The cold shower at the end of the day at least gives you a little bit of hope and humanity, and then you're immediately dried off and realize, damn it, it's still 85 degrees in here.
I agree with you, Andrew. I agree. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah, it's going to be
a
fun day.
Continue to go through it.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It was actually hot when I left this morning.
Things are great. Things are going wonderful, man.
You definitely won't snap at me at any one point.
No,
in the show.
I'm not going to be angry at all on the show today. I'm not going to let my sleep deprivation dictate my mood.
You're
for the next
caffeinated for on the sleep deprivation
next 3 hours. All right, God, I better take a nap today. Or I'm
coming up
be
next,
in a world
Oregon's going to be fifth in the Big Ten in football this year.
I'm going to lose it today.
Dan Wetzel's going to join us at 7:30, and Mike Doc Parker, good Doc Parker, going to be on at 8:15, the voice of the Beavers. It's a loaded show. Dirt and Sprague, let's get it going next on The Fan. Well, much like the PGA Championship, Dirt, I don't think we'll be getting to the U.S. Open until about midway to the end of the week.
You don't got any rough content in your notes today? No Oakmont content in your notes?
Boy, that's a lot of bush on that course. A
lot of bush, man. Talk about 70s bush. A lot of 70s bush out there.
I got Bryson audio for you if you want it.
Ooh, what's Bryson talking about? Is he like the
he
big
was
bush?
He swinging out of the bush.
Is he a fan of the bush?
Couldn't find his ball in it.
Yeah? Well, that can happen from time to time.
He had a really good shot, and he looked disappointed. I'm like, dude, that's a great shot.
That's not a bad shot right there.
We put a poll question up last night. What did you watch the most of this week? And now I know we only had one Stanley Cup game and one NBA Finals game.
A little unfair there.
A little bit, but like, you know, from start, did you do start to finish? What did we watch? The tennis had historic, they had Coco Gauff win under the age of 21.
Yes, I saw that.
And I love that the gal that she beat, did you see her response to losing?
No, I did not.
She basically was like, she didn't do anything, I lost.
Oh, took all the credit.
Took the credit for losing versus like being beat.
That's a hot take after you lose.
I guess. And then the men's, like, they didn't want to stop playing tennis. They played for almost 6 hours.
How does that... Does anybody watch that entire thing? Like,
yes.
Do tennis diehards watch 5 hours and 32 minutes of that?
It's the equivalent to watching the final round in a golf tournament.
I guess that's true.
You would never turn it off. Maybe you fall asleep for a couple holes,
take a nap
you wake
on the eighth hole, and then you wake up.
You're like the asleep audience member. You wake up.
Oh, hey.
Great shot.
Rory's back in the lead. All right, this is great. I'm excited now. A little depressed when I fell asleep.
Well, I left in the morning on Sunday, and I saw a Alcaraz and Sinner about to start, and I'm driving down. I'm like, I'll watch some of it, and I go to see, like, I wonder who won, because I wanted to see the last couple sets.
Right.
and it said still going. And I was like, what the hell? How does this? And I saw the last few sets.
5 hours and 32 minutes is insane. That is such a long time.
That's nuts.
At least with a golf tournament, I'll give you that you can, there's like more than one thing going on at once. Now, they're all playing the same course, but you got, you know, hopefully a handful of guys that are in the mix.
Right.
So it's not just two guys the entire time, although some tournaments do end up being that. In totality, it is unfair. I probably watched the most Beaver baseball just because they had three games. I saw snippets. I didn't see the entire game Friday night, and then I watched a lot of it Saturday.
God, Friday
and a lot of it
lucky.
Sunday. Yeah, Friday was a lucky come-from-behind win there.
Friday doesn't happen. They're not advancing to Omaha.
And then last night was like, okay, talk about 5 hours and 32 minutes. This game's going to take 7.5 hours. Are we going to end this thing anytime soon? No, another pitching change. Let's score five more runs.
Dude,
another home run. Yeah. Let's walk a couple of more guys. It just would not end. But Beaver baseball probably took the cake for the overall weekend. The only event, though, that I watched start to finish was game two of the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, that was great.
That was the only one. On Saturday night, or Friday night? I don't know. It's all a blur. Friday night, I believe. That game was fantastic on Friday.
Yeah, I mean, double overtime and in the Stanley Cup.
I kind of hoped at that point, once you get to a second overtime, I'm hoping we go to like five.
How many, what is the longest Stanley Cup final game?
It's a great question. I think one has reached three OTs before.
Okay.
But, so, I mean, we were encroaching on it. I remember watching some of those many years ago, but two overtimes is not bad. The worst is when you get the buildup for the overtime and then it ends right away.
I just think
you get all excited. You're like, ooh, overtime hockey. And then like 90 seconds in, oh, all right, game's over.
There's got to be nothing more defeating than ending the third period tie. You're like, we're going to overtime. And then you sit for 20 minutes. You repad up. You go out there and it's over in a minute.
Just, all right, see you later.
Well, I'm glad we collected ourselves and came out here and got embarrassed in less than 60 seconds.
The guy in the Zamboni's like, dude, I don't even need to do that, man. That was just a waste of my time there in the intermission. The longest Stanley Cup final game in history, game one of the 1990 Stanley Cup finals between Edmonton and Boston, and it went to three overtimes. The Oilers won 3-2 in the third overtime.
Coincidentally, same team.
Yeah, 15-13 into the third OT, so about 5 minutes to go in three OTs.
Can I give you a bit of a hot take?
What do you got, Bob?
A hockey take that you're going to laugh and hate?
I'll probably laugh and hate it.
I think in hockey, the more overtime you go, so the end of the third period, it's not over.
Not over.
I think the Zamboni driver only Zambonis 75% of the ice.
It's just like, you know,
and
what,
then
screw
if
it.
You get to the end of the overtime, 50%. If you go to a third, there is no Zamboni.
There's no, you just keep going.
Deal with all the nicks and the craters in the ice. We're ending this thing, but it's going to get ugly.
That's the funny thing is one of the reasons those games take so long sometimes is that if you don't have a smooth sheet of ice, but you just can't handle the puck. It's all over the place. And so you just get no offense. Teams are just playing defense, trying to force a turnover. There's not a lot of skill involved at that point of a hockey game.
I do. I think the audience largely, though, whether you hate the Beavers or don't care about the Beavers, I do think it probably overall was the thing locally that got the most eyeballs.
They're dominating the poll question right now.
Yeah.
60% of people saying Beaver baseball, then slight second is, or second over third is NBA Finals at 16, other was 15.
Do I have it wrong? And maybe I shouldn't say this out loud given I went to Oregon State.
How dare you?
I've always viewed going to Omaha, and I know there's more teams just from a count perspective.
Yeah.
I always viewed Omaha as a pseudo getting to the Final Four vibe.
Ah.
Like, in the way that, like, I know the tournament has got, what, 68 now? Used to have 64.
Sure.
I understand there's a lot of teams. I don't know, maybe because of the amount of baseball teams that exist.
There's a lot of them in there.
There's a vibe that getting to Omaha is the equivalent feeling of getting to a Final Four, and I know there's more than four teams.
That's a good poll question right out of the gate today.
Does it not feel that way?
I don't know if I would go, well, my team's never been to Omaha, so I can't speak on this.
Oh, but that's right.
But
that's
my team has been to a Final Four.
Yes.
And I felt like the Final Four was a bigger deal.
No, I think it is a bigger deal.
No, I'm just like in terms of like the level of accomplishment for the team. Like obviously college basketball
is more
popular. But
they're parading around a big ticket yesterday.
They are.
We punched our ticket.
Here's what I say. I see the argument because it's not the traditional, like in the NCAA tournament, you go with all the teams and you play through your bracket.
Right.
This is a little bit different where all the teams are at different regional sites and then you go to a super regional site.
There's a four-team regional and then there's the super best of three. Like, all right, it's almost like you're getting to a World Series. I mean, it is the World Series, but you know what I mean? It's like this last series and we get there.
I feel like that's more of like a Sweet 16 Elite 8 kind of thing. Like you made it out of the opening weekend of the tournament. Like, you get through your Thursday game, you get through your Saturday game, and now you've made it to the next venue, you've made it to the next spot and destination.
Okay, Elite Eight.
I don't know if I'd go Final Four. Final Four is a little bold. I think if you win a couple of games in Omaha, maybe you get that equivalence. I see the overall point you're trying to make. I just don't know about Final Four.
Well, because what in that sport specifically, they tout the, we got to the College World Series this year.
Yeah, trips to Omaha.
Trips to Omaha.
That's a big deal.
This is the ninth trip, I believe, for Oregon State getting to Omaha, which is crazy that they'd been there eight times and they'd won it three.
It's a pretty good percentage.
They showed Florida State and how many times Florida State's gotten there and not been able to do it. Arkansas is one of these programs that wants to win it.
Been there a million times. They kicked the crap out of Tennessee this weekend. I saw that.
They sure did. But I just feel like they say, we got to the World Series, the way that teams say, Final Four.
Now, do teams do that with the tournament, though? Because I feel like teams do that with the NCAA tournament as well. Like, you count tournament year. You know the year is your team made the tournament. The year is your team missed it.
That's a good question.
I'm not saying it's the same level of accomplishment. Because Omaha, what, 16 teams go to Omaha, right? Yes.
Eight. It's eight. The final.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eight.
Yeah.
It's very confident answers.
I looked
all
up the bracket.
The board.
Well, I looked up eight. The bracket too.
Eight.
It's eight.
Final
eight.
Answer.
We're waiting
eight.
For Duke
definitely
and Murray
eight.
State to punch the ticket.
Yes.
Oh, we got more super regionals today?
Yeah.
That's still going on.
Yeah.
One game.
Did we have some rainouts over the weekend?
I think they started late.
Okay.
They staggered them.
What the hell? Why are we staggering them? Why is there a game on a Monday?
I don't know.
I'm questioning all this. It had to have been weather. Should have been wrapped up yesterday. That's my hot take. So you get eight teams in the College World Series. So obviously making the tournament is far easier than it is to make Omaha and make the College World Series. But I feel like teams do that in college basketball.
I mean, they start quite literally with 64.
Yeah, and you
so
work
it
your
really
way down.
Is NCAA tournament vibe. So maybe to your point, it's the equivalent of getting to an Elite Eight.
Yes.
Oregon State men's basketball got to an Elite Eight, and it was a massive deal.
It was a huge deal when you got to Elite Eight.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I just misread that.
I think you're
head.
Close, though. It's a big deal to get to Omaha. They're going back to Omaha.
They just feel more excited
Omaha!
About being in that Elite Eight than like the basketball's excited, but they're not running around with a anything to say, we're in the Elite Eight.
No, that's the Elite Eight win that you get, because then you cut down the nets for the regional final.
Yeah, so you can go to the final.
And that's when, so to your point, you get the celebration at the end of it. You don't celebrate that way after a Sweet 16 win. You still got another game to go.
Sadly, I think, I think the NBA Finals came too.
I mean, that game sucked. That game was terrible.
You want to talk about it?
Not really, no.
You don't.
Oklahoma City kicked the crap out of them, kind of like we all thought that they would.
Man, they sure did.
And I hope that doesn't happen three more times, because they should be up 2-0 in this series.
I had the Beavs on my iPad, and I was largely watching that, because every time I was seeing the NBA, it was like, they're still up 15. They're still up 16.
Game never changed. It was the same game from start to finish.
But I had to run to the kitchen real quick, and so my TV's in the other room, so I can kind of see it, but I can't see the score. And I hear something, but I don't hear it all the way, and I'm screaming at her. What's the score? She's like, 118.99. How much time? 2 minutes and 33 seconds. It's over.
Yep. That's when it's finally safe.
That's when it's not. They're not coming back at that point.
Indiana, you got to be careful. I did not place my Indiana trailing bet because I knew they've already used up their magic mojo.
They might have used it all up, man. They might have used it all up.
Yeah, you missed the train the first time. You don't jump on the train the second time, because it ain't going to happen again. And that was a forgettable NBA Finals game. There was one really funny thing that we can talk about out of it, though, and it was the NBA's response to all the criticism.
Oh,
the game
I want to get into that.
That needs
sure.
to be discussed today.
I guess that's the angle we can go with as well. Also, Oklahoma City just kind of looking like the wagon we expected to see. They were up 15 in game one.
Yeah, they had a big lead there.
They should have won that one, too, and how different we feel where you can match up Halliburton's number quite literally to the left of SGA's number, and it's a 0-2, that's where the Pacers could be. They're not, but they could be there, but they got their split. So we'll talk about that in the NBA's overreaction. We'll get to that coming up next. But first, Ortner with a sports update. Definitely a song that comes on in the car and you end up singing.
Every time.
The Pacers aren't singing.
No, they're not feeling good, Piano Man.
123-107. Largely blown out most of the game. And Halliburton didn't really get it going until the fourth quarter, when the game was kind of over.
He didn't do a lot in game one either. That was the funny part. But he hit the shot that everybody will remember. He had what should have been the first Mike Breen bang of the series, but it didn't get a bang.
I believe he is rightfully a polarizing superstar conversation point.
Yeah.
Because he has moments where you go, my God, 32, 14, and 15.
That was awesome.
And then he has a lot of these kind of 16, 8-4 yeah. type lines. I know that wasn't his official line yesterday. Yesterday he was 17-6-3.
Not terrible.
No, but also most of the game not amazing at five turnovers. I'm not trying to do the whole, like, every game react.
One direction or the other. Are the Pacers going to do this?
Yeah, right.
Will the Pacers win a game?
Yeah, right.
Back and forth.
I mean, I just think mathematically what the Pacers have done has been not only historic, but, like, it just doesn't feel sustainable. But I also think they're going to win a game in Indy. And I could be way wrong on that because that Thunder team, the one that didn't blow game one, the one that had the lead and then stepped on the throat, I can't tell you, Dirt, how many times, because I stopped caring about the gap was so big that I stopped caring about keeping up with it live, that I would stop and show my daughter this. Watch this play. This is basketball right here. Jalen Williams dribbles up, hits corner Caruso. Caruso basically indicates to pop out SGA. SGA pops out, triple threat, swing it around to Williams. Williams to Wallace. Wallace quick over, back to Caruso, who went oppo corner, wide open three, bang. Like, that is orgasmic basketball.
Yes.
I did that like 4 or 5 times because this game was so bad that I'm like, I can catch up. I'll be okay. I'm not going to miss anything.
Let's have this just be a teaching point for young basketball players.
But, you know, the much like the Pacers won game one, people were like, oh my God, are they going to do it? It is a lot today of like, okay, see, it's over. They're going to win in 5.
Yeah, you're gonna go in both directions throughout the course of a series. I didn't give it much of a chance to be a series when it began, and my mind didn't change a lot after game one. Because I'll reiterate what I said on Friday, and that just essentially was, how many times can Indiana do that? You cannot find yourself in a 15-20-point deficit for the majority of the game and come back consistently against a team that's this talented.
Hard to win a title that way.
Like, you just can't. And so, like, you gotta be competitive in the first half, give yourself a puncher's chance going into the second half, and then maybe somebody gets hot. For the whole Halliburton superstar conversation, he has not been great in this series. He's had some down moments so far in the playoffs, but he's hit a lot of memorable shots and had a lot of great moments throughout the course of this run, including the game winner, essentially, in game one. The tough part is, though, added on top of him not playing at that high of a level, is the guy that I circled going in saying if Indiana had any chance, they needed him to play well, and he has not done much in the first two games either, and that's Pascal Siakam, who went for 15 last night on 3 of 11 shooting.
You didn't think he was good in game one?
I mean, he was fine in game one.
I thought he was the only reason they were able to kind of float around.
Sure, he hung him around in the first half, and then they had other random guys kind of go off in the second half, but he's coming off a series against New York where he was averaging almost 26 points a game and shooting 52% from the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, he's shooting 38%. Averaging 17 and having 15 last night, I thought was kind of a letdown game on 11 shots. It's not very efficient. He just got to the foul line a ton, and that's what helped him a little bit. But you got to have one of your two guys show up with a big offensive performance because OKC has too much depth that they can throw at you.
Well, I think the thing about that is when you watch OKC play last night, and you saw this in game one, but it just kind of died because their offense couldn't convert. God, that defense.
Yeah.
I mean,
they can throw so many different guys at Halliburton to make his life hell, and he's got to get rid of the ball because it's the right basketball play, and then somebody else has to do something.
It just feels like every time somebody on Indiana drives, I mean, you get into once in a while, you get Turner who makes a good move on Chet, or Pascal made some good cuts and some good moves, but it just feels like through two games, the thing that I keep coming back to is every time it feels like somebody drives for Indy, there's three players just instantly swarming them.
Just waiting for you.
And yesterday, like, they didn't have 25 or 19 first half turnovers and 25 total, but, you know, 15 turnovers. It just felt like also a lot of lost possessions where bad shots were thrown up because they have them panicking and in the shot clock. Oh, I got to hoist a grenade type vibe. So it's just like Oklahoma City's defense. I think ultimately, if they win this series, as it goes back to Indiana tied at one, I think if it goes back and Oklahoma takes care of and puts a stranglehold on it, I mean, we're going to talk about how complete a roster they are, how they share the basketball. Like, every single player is looking to pass.
Yep.
Not even SGA, the best player of the MVP, is not looking to shoot. He just once in a while takes his moments. I think we're going to go back to the defense. It's absolutely the defense. Having this ability to have that many wings, athletic dudes, run around, switch, not have a problem switching, and then you've got a 7-foot guy who weighs 110 pounds, but man, is he athletic and rangy and lengthy, and he can make up some ground too. It just it's tough to beat that kind of defense, man. This is really one of the better defenses we've seen in the NBA Finals in a long time.
And it doesn't get talked about a lot. When I watch them on the other side of the ball, on the offensive end, there's a very strong Spurs vibe to it.
Yes,
where
very Spurs-y.
It seems like they're all...
I think their whole organization feels very Spurs-y.
Very similar, right?
SGA is Duncan. It's like, he'll give you some good answers, but largely it's not like controversial.
No.
He was asked, how do you define... you know, MVP, superstar, face of the league stuff. And he was just like, oh.
He's not a very flamboyant personality.
I don't know.
He's not outspoken on a lot of things. No. I don't know a lot about him other than his nationality, and he knows what a pro wants and what a pro needs. Like, there's not many things that stand out when you think about him. But the way that they move, the way that they pass, the way they distribute, and the way it's always about the team on that side of the ball.
I'm jealous.
It really is a gorgeous brand of basketball. I'm going to hold out a little bit of hope that Indiana maybe gets a win back at home, at least push the series a little bit. Last night was, you know, really 85% of the series so far has not been very encouraging for Indiana, sans that fourth quarter comeback. But that is going to be a really cool scene to see them hosting an NBA Finals game again for the first time in a long time.
I tend to agree with you. If it goes back to OKC 2-2, like, we shouldn't be sitting here going, well, OKC's still going to win. Like, we should still give the Pacers some benefit to be able to do it. I'm excited to see it go back to Indiana. Did you notice anything on the court last night?
I did notice something on the court last night.
So we had talked about this, how the NBA, and it wasn't just the court for me. Like, I saw a clip after our show Friday from Amino Hassan, who's like, they actually haven't had anything on the court since 2014, casuals. And I'm like, that's not the point, bro.
We complain about this every year. It's been a thing every year.
It's just gotten worse and worse, and you can't care more about your IST than your finals. Like, give me my intro. Give me everything. Give me as much pageantry as you can. It's your championship.
We do this every year with the Super Bowl, too. When they release a Super Bowl logo and graphic, we say the same thing every year. What happened when these used to be great, when they were, like, shaped after the city that the Super Bowl was being played, and every single one was unique, and that's not the case anymore?
Well, and so Adam Silver responded because he is very online, and he sees and the minute there's negativity, he has to respond to it. So he sees the reaction to people just saying, like, yo, this doesn't feel like the finals. I know it is, but it doesn't feel... you guys aren't making it a bigger deal. It should be bigger. And he goes, yeah, we'll look into putting things on the court next year. And I'm like, oh, that's great.
Great.
Good news.
Got to watch this NBA Finals without any sort of logo, any sort of trophy, nothing.
Well, little did I know that they were going to digitally add the trophy to the court. And that's exactly... they did the most lazy possible thing you could do. Here's your digital Larry O'Brien trophy on the court.
Looked like it was drawn on some computer program, too. It didn't even look like a clear picture.
What is it? Is it Microsoft Paint? Looks like something that I would have created in fifth grade. And they're like, just throw it on the court. They just want to see something.
Draw the Larry O'Brien for fifth grade art class, and you're going to end up on the court of an NBA Finals game.
I think it kind of sums up my point, but also the league's problem is, look, they've already gotten to this point without it. Just finish this series and step it up next year. But they're so online that the 5% of active Twitter users who complain, they think the whole world is screaming and caring of, like, oh my God, they're mad at us. Let's do something. Instead of just saying, yeah, all right, we'll address it. Sorry about that. We'll move on. Get through this finals. We'll do it next year. And all the digital thing, they just added to it yesterday. I thought it was hilarious.
To add even more to it as well, it was funny. Now, you might correct me if I'm wrong on this, but because I was kind of in and out watching the game and it was a blowout, so I'm not glued to it every second. I believe I read, too, that it was only on the court for certain pockets of time. And then, like, it wasn't on the court the entire game. They just had it on for little snippets, and then they would switch it out with another advertisement.
It was finals, or it was the trophy.
Yeah, see, I thought I saw the screen a couple of times where I looked up, and I'm like, that's an advertisement. That's not an NBA Finals YouTube TV, and the trophy is now gone.
Yeah.
We're selling something else for this, you know, stretch of basketball, and then we'll get back to the trophy.
It just was weird because it'd go from trophy to finals.
Yeah, because it should be on the floor. It shouldn't change because it should actually be on the court of the NBA Finals.
Agree 100%. I just also find the digital advertising on the court bizarre.
It's horrible.
It's you know, it doesn't make or break me watching the sport. It is odd.
It's frustrating.
Does baseball have any equivalent outside of behind the home plate advertising they do digitally? Like, they don't do anything on the field.
They do.
Imagine if they had something in center field.
Just like a huge logo in the middle of the field.
Yeah, like instead of the MLB All-Star game cutting and mowing a logo the way they do.
Sure, there's a giant Geico advertisement out there. Like, what is this nonsense?
MLB
dude?
All-Star game. Geico.
This is the World Series. What is happening right now? Sometimes I'll see teams put a graphic on the back of the pitcher's mound, like impose an advertisement adjustment on the back of the mound.
I think you're right.
I've seen those a few times, but that is at least kind of out of sight, out of mind. But the ones that drive me nuts are the ones behind home plate. Like, just, we're that desperate for a few extra bucks. You're making millions and millions of dollars every year. When is enough enough? Let me enjoy my fields. Let me enjoy my courts, damn it.
I tend to agree with that.
It's ridiculous. A horrible look for the NBA that they almost made even worse by reacting to it in the half-ass way that they did.
They did, yeah.
Like, just, if you're going to do something about it, you have the ability to change the court out. You're a billion-dollar industry. Fly a new damn court in. Paint the thing. Get it ready. You got 7 days off in between games of the NBA Finals already.
Ortner, can you turn your mic on real quick?
No.
Also, one observation. Watching the, I want to say it was the halftime, or maybe it was the postgame. I didn't watch much postgame, but watching the, I think it was the half. They came back because they do these shorter segments on ESPN, and they have Kendrick, they've got Bob Myers, they've got Screamin' A. Smith.
An award-winning halftime show.
It literally, Ortner, turn the mic on, it ended with this. Let's all talk at the same time. Ready? Go.
I can't believe there was a logo on the
really wrong. Yeah,
not in Indiana, not when
basketball was really bad.
This series should be 2-0.
I just couldn't believe it.
Do we really like basketball?
And then it went to commercial. And I just have Bob Myers screaming at Kendrick, Kendrick screaming at Bob Myers, Stephen A. like, hey, I'm Stephen A. And I'm just like, they're all screaming at the same time. And I'm like, what is this show?
This is phenomenal content is what it is.
Get them off. Get them off. Malika Andrews even, Portland's very own.
Yeah.
She asked out loud, dangerous for the Thunder to only be up 18?
Oh, they're in trouble.
Dangerous.
Well, they blew a lead in game one, don't you know, Bob?
They'd rather be up 18 than tied, but okay, I digress.
Maybe they want to be tied. That way they stay sharp in the second half. They don't have to worry about blowing a lead.
That show's lost their... I don't know who they are. They're a confused show, man. I don't know what they're doing.
Wait till they ruin the best basketball show that we have, which they uncertainly will do next year.
We'll get to the Beavers. They've punched their ticket to the Elite Eight of baseball. Your Omaha.
Head. Omaha!
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 Mitch Canham. Thought he couldn't do it.
Can't win the big one.
He's not clutch.
Has he won the big one now? If he doesn't win a game in Omaha, has he still not won the big one?
Does Fire
this,
him.
Does this count as a big one? Super regional win? That's got to be a big one, right?
We'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour. Something about the regional that I want to ask you involving the sport of baseball. We got Dan Wetzel at 7:30 to talk about the NCAA house settlement that finally stamped. We got a judge.
It's going to solve all of our problems.
Where's the money going to get spent? How's it going to be distributed throughout sports and athletic departments? We'll get to that today. But we're back with more Dirt and Sprague on The Fan. TNT on the call, Kenny Albert. Brad Marchand, who was picked up by the Panthers this year from the Boston Bruins.
That little rat's fitting in well down in South Florida.
They are the rats down in South Florida. They throw them when they win.
A rat joining some rats.
I know you're not an Oiler fan, but it feels like you've kind of become one. McDavid is obviously just unreal.
I want Connor McDavid to win a cup. I also have a futures ticket on Edmonton winning the Stanley Cup.
When did you place it?
January? No, they went through like a rough 2-week stretch in the middle of the year.
Oh, you bought on the dip?
I bought on the dip, bought low, yeah. Did not sell high, felt great after game one. Then they scored a goal with 30 seconds to go in the game on Friday night, sent it to OT. I'm feeling fantastic.
Yep.
And then that happened in double overtime.
Devastating.
That was a pretty tough one to give up. Yeah, when you have a miracle comeback like they did, essentially scoring in the final minute with an extra attacker on the ice, that's one that you want to finish off because you don't get a lot of those opportunities. In Florida, ironically, even though they've blown two leads in this series, they've been one of the best. They're dominant when they have a lead because they got a great goaltender. They're really good defensively, so they're hard to come back against. Edmonton did it in game one, won the game in overtime. They did it again and then ultimately couldn't win it. They had so many chances, though. Skinner for Edmonton was fantastic. Again, he made a bunch of huge saves
in
that first overtime.
The winner was weird.
It was really weird.
I didn't even see it go in. I just saw him celebrate, and then it was like a delayed call, and I'm like, wait, it trickled through his legs?
That can happen from time to time in hockey, where sometimes you see it set up, and you're like, you see the kill shot coming into your sights, and you're like, oh, this could be it. And then other times, you're kind of half paying attention, trying to find the puck, and you realize, wait a minute. I think the game's over right now. They're all celebrating, and the red light's going off.
So is Edmonton OKC here, or are they on a deadline here with money? I don't know how hockey works.
They're not quite in that situation, no. They got a couple of their big guys already locked up. And McDavid is the greatest.
So they shouldn't be going anywhere.
McDavid is the greatest hockey player probably known to mankind, right? And he is not going anywhere anytime soon. And as long as that's the case, he'll have a chance.
The GOAT is Gretzky. He owns all the records. Some of those will never be touched. But is this a Mahomes-Brady thing where, like, if we're being honest, we go...
From a physical standpoint, yes.
Talent-wise, that guy's better than that other guy, but that other guy's career was amazing.
He is an absolute freight train. He had everybody who has not seen it should go watch the assist that he had. I want to say it was one of the first period was nuts. It was 3-2, so it was like fireworks right out of the gate. Everybody was scoring, and some people liked the under going into the game, and it was like, well, that's going to hit maybe at the end of the first period, because I think the over-under was 5.5 or 6.5. So it easily hit, but he had a play where he essentially deked through like three Panther defensemen and just had an unbelievable pass to Draisaitl, who is his running mate, who's another one of the best offensive players in the league, and that they scored a goal on that situation. He is kind of a man amongst boys, but Florida is the overall better team. That's the equivalent.
Going back to Florida now, where do you think this goes?
I mean, I think Florida's probably going to win, but
really?
I'm going to continue to root
because
for
because they've had the lead in both games?
They're a more trustworthy team, and they're a deeper team.
They're so tough.
This is like, you don't want to make like LeBron comparisons, but there's a little bit of that with some of those Cleveland teams that he made it on. Like, Edmonton's good. I don't want to downplay the rest of the roster.
He has an MVP teammate.
Leon Draisaitl is elite. There's no doubt about it. And Skinner has been playing great in the playoffs, but there is a bit of like, he is the guy that, he is the engine.
He's kind of carrying everybody
with him. He is kind of hauling everybody on his back. Whereas Florida can just come at you in waves. Like, Marchand has been unreal for them in the playoffs. He had two goals in that game. One of them was a shorthanded goal that was a bit of a backbreaker for Edmonton when they were on the power play, and then obviously the game winner. And he's an forgotten guy, when you look at some of their top scorers.
I know not everybody in our audience watches hockey or cares. The Stanley Cup's been great.
Dude, the first game...
It's been great.
First two games went to overtime.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often.
You can ask for more.
The first double overtime game in the Stanley Cup final, I think, in 4 or 5 years, so we haven't had one of those in a while. It's going to be a tight competitive series in every game. There will not be any blowouts. That's what I feel good about.
Well, it was a lot of fun to watch a double OT thriller.
It's awesome, man.
I don't know what's going on half the time, but I am like, damn, this hockey, it's intense.
It's that time of year where we all say, you know what, we should really watch more hockey, and then nobody ever ends up watching more hockey because it's a great product.
It's okay. Happens to basketball all the time. You know, the game was good. I should watch regular. No, not good.
Enjoy it for a couple of weeks, and then we'll say bon voyage.
We have a loaded second hour. The Oregon State Beavers have punched their ticket to Omaha. We'll get to that. Mitch Canham, I thought, had a really good cut in the post game. We'll talk with Mike Doc Parker at 8:15 about it. We'll get to the NCAA house settlement that was finally solved yesterday. Dan Wetzel, our good friend at ESPN, will join us for the Daily Ticker. It is a loaded second hour. Dirt and Sprague, please join us on The Fan next.